Well, let's move on to our next passage. It's going to be Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10. It is a revised common lectionary passage for Proper 19 in Ordinary Time, which is September the 11th. Rex, would you read it for us, please?
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
There goes that man again, Rex, eating with sinners and welcoming them. What does this tell us about this God that we see in Jesus?
From this passage, it's all about people or things being lost and being found and rejoicing for what was lost and now found, and they're found. And it's just tax collectors and, you know, the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus. And what this passage tells us is that Jesus is a God who is not intimidated by sinners. In fact, he reaches out and welcomes them. The woman finding the coin, the shepherd finding the one sheep, living the 99. And what that tells me is that we are all valuable to him, that he is willing to search for us. And one person said, if he's willing to leave the 99, is it the shepherd making the 99 feel so unsafe? But that's another altogether study on the cultural background of the time. But the fact that Jesus Christ, or that shepherd, is willing to really go out and to just really search for that one sheep or that one coin tells me that Jesus is just really showing how much loved we are. We are important. We are valuable in his sight.
You know, I've heard it said that if Jesus didn't dine with sinners, he would always eat alone. You know, yeah. And so I'm glad he welcomes me and eats with me and certainly is my sustenance on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and the imagery of him eating with sinners, that is a powerful image of him being able to relationally accept them.
Yeah,
that they are loved. I'm just trying to put myself in a situation where, for example, I have done a huge mistake, or I have offended the person, or something, and then this person would still ask me out, let's eat, let's share a meal. That would communicate so much love. That would communicate forgiveness. That would communicate, hey, you know, everything is going to be all right. Eating together is such a powerful image of a community, and even worth it. Mm-hmm. For a sinner to be eating with Jesus, that's, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm ready to be in that banquet.
Yes, yes, amen and amen. I I'm getting the imagery in my mind, Rex, about the condescension of Jesus, meaning, you know, in his incarnation, he came to us. He came into the far country. And to sit down and dine with us is to, in one sense, to condescend. But that's what love does. It's much like a parent getting down on the floor with their young child and playing with them. You know, you condescend because love goes downward, if you will. Yes. And thanks be to God that that's who he is. And therefore, I think Jesus would say, go and do likewise, you know, not out of a, hey, this is a legalistic perspective, but this is what love does, right? And that's all God can do is act out of who he is, and he is love. And therefore, that's why we see this imagery of the shepherd with the sheep. So tell us more. What would you want pastors, preachers, and teachers, and Bible students to know about the parable of the lost sheep?
I'd like to highlight verse 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder. I could just visualize here the sheep. The sheep is too weak to return on its own. And there are times when we as pastors need to understand that some of our friends, some of the people in the church may have, you know, put it in quote, may have lost their way and may feel too weak or too embarrassed or feel too guilty to return on their own. But Jesus Christ is modeling for us that there is so much joy when a lost is found. And there is a, you know, it's in that passage, there's a glaring contrast with the religious leaders who grumbled. But Jesus Christ is showing us the intense joy of having someone being brought back. That's why it's consistent in the three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. You know, the idea of searching. There was that song, Anthony, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this song. It's called When God Ran. Have you heard of that?
I have.
And the idea that God is searching, God is looking, and the idea that we have been found, and many times we cannot, maybe out of shame, out of guilt, out of our weaknesses, we feel as if we don't deserve to be brought back, or whatever situation we may have right now where we feel we're not worthy to be loved or to be accepted. And the idea of the shepherd placing the sheep on his shoulder. I would like to imagine the me being the sheep and Jesus Christ carrying me on his shoulder when I feel lost, when I don't know what to do, when I feel alone or I feel rejected, where you question your worth, you know, I don't belong to the 100 and you know, they're the 99, they're the good ones and I'm the bad one here, you know. I didn't make the cut. But Jesus Christ is always ready to welcome us back. And not only that, when we are too weak, just like this shepherd, he lays it on his shoulder.
Yeah,
I would like our listeners to understand that Jesus Christ is always ready to pick you up. Jesus Christ is always ready and willing because that's how much he loves us. And there are times when, you know, we look at our what we have done or, you know, the output of our hands. And we look at ourselves as not enough. Jesus Christ is always willing, always willing. And that there's that intense joy. Could you imagine a God who delights in you? Especially when you are not, I'll put it in quote, you're not performing. You know how some people would feel that they need to earn the grace, or they cannot accept fully the grace. That's why they feel as if they still need to do something. So at least they were able to have a share in whatever they're enjoying right now in terms of their relationship with Jesus Christ.
But you know, as I'm looking back over verse 5, Rex, you know, Jesus joyfully puts the lost sheep on his shoulder. And I've mentioned this story in a previous podcast, but it bears repeating. At the time of this recording, my wife Elizabeth and I just visited with her parents in West Virginia mm-hmm. over the weekends. Jim and Sandy are their names. And mm-hmm. Elizabeth's favorite story to tell from her childhood is when she got lost at a church festival. There were thousands of people there. Wow. And it took her parents and the extended family quite a while to find her. And you can imagine the fear that was creeping up in their parents. You know, yeah. We've lost our girl, our baby girl, the youngest of two. And, you know, they finally found her. And her dad mm. took her into a room, and everybody thought that's where she was going to get punished because right. how dare you run off from us? Yeah. Why weren't yeah. you paying attention? yeah. And she loves telling that her dad knelt down to look her in the eye and said, you know, everybody expects me to punish you, mm. but I'm just so glad I found you. And he hugs her. And I mean, yeah. you can imagine mm. even for a young girl, as Elizabeth was at the time, how much that taught her about a father's love.
Wow.
And ultimately points to, you know, our heavenly Father who loves us yeah. with an intensity that goes beyond any earthly father, right?
Yeah.
So I just think yeah. that kind of bears or highlights this reality that God just rejoices
mm.
To carry mm. us home, right?
Yeah. And as let me add, as pastors, as ministry workers, or as under shepherds, I mean, I pray that through the Spirit we may participate in the heart of God for those who still need to really know Him. That yeah. May we have that welcoming Spirit of Jesus towards people who struggle, people who may have stumbled, people who may have messed it up, who may have messed up their lives, or simply people who may not have it all together. It's basically all of us anyway. And may we share in the joy. You know, the passage says there's such intense joy.
Yes.
May we share in that joy and celebrate yes. when one who has been lost has been found.
What else would you encourage preachers and teachers to focus on from this passage, Rex, if anything?
That our encouragement is Jesus alone. When sometimes, I remember someone said, I've been preaching sermons for 30 years, and it seems as if nothing's changed. Their lives are not changed. And this preacher basically asked, is it worth it? And the encouragement that he received was that, yes, because it's the work of Jesus. It's Jesus was really happy when we preach in and out of season for those people who are struggling. Mm-hmm. And we preach the message for people who are doing well in their lives and those who are down and out. But the call for us there is a call for us to really go for those who are hurting, those who are feeling lost. And this is a very difficult task sometimes, because there are times when the people who need help the most are the ones who will reject us first. But if we can also share in the passion of Jesus, in His love, in searching for these people and making them feel loved and welcome despite all of these challenges, I think that's the encouragement that we have Jesus, and there are times when we may feel like we're not able to help a lot of people who are hurting, but being able to simply participate in that even experience how Jesus would bring a person back, how Jesus would heal and renew and transform. We're just invited to join, and then in the process, really see the wonderful works of his hands in transforming the lives of so many people. Sheep who are lost and being carried. And I am just imagining what the story you shared about Elizabeth. And because back in the day when it was really all about being disciplined, right? Being your steps are measured. I remember when you are more scared of the ushers because you know. I could just imagine where people expected Elizabeth's dad to really be harsh, and I think that's a very, very powerful story. Many times, people in general have that impression that God is like that. That he's angry, that he is very exacting, that he is watching over our shoulder to see if we are ticking off the right list. But
it's a good word. I'm encouraged by this, and you know, isn't it beautiful how the Spirit ministers to us through Scripture. I mean, we can get so familiar with some of these parables and stories of our Lord, and yet to be refreshed and renewed once again by Scripture is such a beautiful thing.